Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. I am your host, Coach John Zombro, and this is episode number 92 with the title Exercise Dosage, Minimum versus Maximum. So as you know, this is the show where we talk about how to achieve peak performance at any age and at the very same time how to maintain optimal lifelong health. So that's what we're getting into today. And this show is kind of one of those R-cubed or rant, rave, and ramble solo-sodes that I occasionally do, although this is going to be a relatively short ramble. I've been talking a bit lately, a bit more about different ways of looking at movement and training and how we can apply some scientific principles and also some mindset to what we're doing with our movement, our activity, our exercise, and training. So here's the gist of today's show. I'm often presented with the question, well, how much exercise is enough? Or how much training is indicated or ideal for my goal? And that's what I'm going to address in today's discussion. First of all, the lifetime athlete, for all lifetime athletes, I should say, exercise should be applied in the context of training. So training is that thing we do as athletes which gives our exercise greater purpose, greater meaning, and potentially greater results. It's also incredibly important that all of that movement, activity, exercise, and ultimately training be based in play. Play is a natural and necessary element in the human beast, and we need to keep things fun with movement. Movement should never be punitive. It should always be a joyous celebration of living in your ultimate human beast. And ultimately, training should be based in a program. Programs just make training more effective. So we've gone over that before here on the show, but basically that's where you have a plan and you execute flexibly and you record and track and assess and adjust and strategize and learn. I'll come back to that again as well. Philosophically, we are trying to establish baselines or hit new markers in health status or KPIs, key performance indicators. On one level, research will indicate amounts that are representative of thresholds. For example, how much weekly movement correlates with the best health outcomes. I'm going to touch on that later. On a different level, we are actually more concerned with health markers and KPIs. It's more of how the body is and what it can do than simply putting in the time and doing the training. To explain that a bit further, depending on your genetics and lifestyle, such as diet and sleep and stress and other factors, one amount of training will put you in your goal capacity. This might be slightly different for someone else. And the amount of training that yields a certain result can be dynamic within us, either changing by the season or with the passage of time and age. But keep in mind, they don't give out prizes for how much you work out. The real rewards are for how much you kick ass, you know, how much ass you kick. In other words, how healthy, long-living, and high-performing you can be. That's always the end goal, and training is just one of the primary processes we utilize to get there. So first we want to talk about the minimum effective dosage, or MED, and you could even say med. It sounds medicinal because it is. Movement is medicine, and especially when it's training and play-based. And of course, this term is borrowed from the pharmaceutical industry. You know, when looking at the application of medication or drugs, you know, there's always, what's the minimum effective dosage we can utilize to get the desired outcomes? That's where I learned this term, but it's kind of really applies well to exercise and training. So for health, we stay active, we overcome stasis, we nourish our bodies with movement-based nutrition. And that's really a good example of using a minimum effective dosage or med model. Now, for the maintenance of performance, this is an art form. You actually figure out how little you can get away with and still dominate. And the goal is never to make yourself senselessly tired. You also learn how to balance training so that you use Med whenever you need more recovery or life gets complicated. Remember, training is a stress. It's a good stress in most cases, yes, but it's still a stress. When your total stress load is high from things that you can't control, bringing down training stress to whatever represents your Med level in that moment is what an intelligent beast does. Don't drain your resources and make yourself vulnerable to the predators of life. Live to fight and win another day or week, month, year, literally. Now I want to talk quite briefly about the maximum absorbable dosage, or MAD. So the MAD model, it sounds extensive because it can be whenever you put the word maximum into something. Based on the concept of how much can be optimal and tolerated, how to get those last few percentage points of awesomeness out of your body, how to wring out your full potential. So that's where we use that MAD approach to training, and it is a powerful lever that we can insert here and there. This is probably the more artful dance for the lifetime athlete because you have to execute, record and track, assess and adjust your plan and program to hit that Goldilocks level. Do it just right or awfully close to that. It's wonderful. But if you do too little, performance isn't at a peak level. Do too much and health may indeed be compromised. And you can coach yourself, but this is where working with a coach, a competent and qualified coach who knows and cares about you, can make the difference. Why? Because a coach can usually see things that we don't always notice within ourselves. And by directing training just a bit more objectively, we can avoid what I call motivation misapplied. And this is a critical error I see often in many self-coached athletes. So let's look at some really quick examples of Med and MAD. So the Med prescription for health, and this is very much evidence-based, very well research substantiated, is that we need, as ultimate human beasts on this planet, about 10 hours of total movement weekly to hit that threshold for health. That's 7 hours of general daily activity, or 1 hour a day of doing chores and going to the mailbox, etc., etc., and about 3 hours total per week of exercise. And that's consistent with the recommendations that are out there from the World Health Organization, the American College of Sports Medicine, the American Medical Association. They vary slightly in their areas of emphasis, but those 3 hours of exercise hitting in some of the categories that I am often talking about, some aerobic exercise, some resistance and strength training, mobility work, a bit of higher intensity, that's going to get us that Med prescription for health. Now, the MAD approach, it can take on any numbers of forms and shapes, and it really does depend on who are we dealing with, who's the athlete, what's the goal, what's the timeline, etc. So how much training and of what type do we mix into our model? So one approach I'm using right now with one of my athletes in his training model, he's actually doing about 2 hours of daily activity per day, for a total of about 14 hours per week of GDA. So he's doubling the activity requirement in his model. And one of the reasons is because we want to, in this guy, we want to really stimulate a lot of movement, get as much circulatory perfusion as we can. This seems to be really helping him out. And then he's got about 7 hours of specific exercise training. He's breaking that up. There's 4 workouts per week that he does. 2 are 1 hour workouts, and 2 of them are 90 minute sessions. And the typical workout program design, there is some preparatory work or, warm up. Some folks don't like the term warm up because we're doing more than just warming tissues. We're cueing, priming, activating. Yes, of course. Then there are resistance training and explosive maneuvers. And then there at the end, there are some movement refinement, mobility work, cool down types of things. So that's really what a training session looks like for this guy. He's got 2 1 hours and 2 slightly longer. Just an example. So for lifetime athletes who are peak performing human beasts, we need to embrace these terms and utilize both Med and MAD. And again, that's minimum effective dosage and maximum absorbable dosage in our training. My advice to you is try to always keep a med baseline for health, and you know, unless you're ill or injured, you know, you always want to try to get that 10 hours per week in, and then periodically use a MAD level. MAD, maybe not quite MAD as in crazy, but MAD as in maximum absorbable dosage. Level for adaptation and performance. You can coax and tweak a bit more out of your body. And if you do all these things intelligently, like we're talking about with balancing recovery, you're not going to compromise health or increase injury risk. You're just going to get a higher performance out of yourself. And then return to these med baselines periodically throughout the year. Again, working with a coach to allow for recovery and regression at times in terms of your performance. And that's part of the whole periodized model of training. We don't do the same thing all the time. We change with the seasons because we are natural human beasts on this earth. So that's the message of today, minimum versus maximum. And hey, thank you so much for being with me and giving me this opportunity to share information about training with you. If you're liking the content, by all means, please leave a 5-star rating and a review wherever you listen to the show, but particularly on Apple Podcasts /iTunes. That's really the ladder that is helping. We're trying to climb that ladder, and that helps us to get this good information out to more and more people. I really appreciate you guys for being here and for listening. I wish you a wonderful peak performing day. So until next time, this is Coach Jay-Z signing off from the Lifetime Athlete.